Father, we worship and we honor you. For we know who you truly are. And we see you who is invisible. Even though the world doesn't know you. But we do. We give you the praise, the worship, the honor, the adoration that only you deserve. We enter your word with reverence. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, fully conscious of our limitations, the limitations of the human mind, to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into human words. We therefore ask you to come and help, particularly help me, anoint me afresh, help me to speak as I should as an oracle of God. Let the word flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts. The same unction upon me, let it be upon the ears and the hearts of all those that will hear me. Let an eternal and internal and eternal work be done in all of our hearts, including my own, so that our wills will become more humble, our minds will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions will be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure to back these words, to follow them, wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. And that power will heal, that power will deliver, that power will break yokes, that power will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of your word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed and said. Amen. This afternoon I want to share a message God has put in my heart with us. And I've entitled it, Seeing the Invisible. This is a concept that is very important and fundamental to our walk with God and our exercise of faith. Having said that, it is also a concept that I believe many Christians are confused about and not clear about, and try to go about it in the wrong way. Hence this exhortation at such a time as this. I believe that we're in the season of the manifestation of the glory of God, and there are going to be a lot of supernatural, spectacular manifestations of God's presence that will be reported all over the world. When the Pentecostal revival was anointing was poured out at the turn of the last century, and down through the years, there had been occasions where men would be privileged to see into the realm of the Spirit. People saw the fire of God. There were men who saw God, saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially comes to my mind is Kenneth Hagin. In my mind, as far as I know, I could be wrong, but Kenneth Hagin had the most extensive visions of the Lord Jesus Christ than anybody I've ever heard of. I've heard of people who've seen Jesus, but very rarely does he speak to them for, you know, more than a few minutes. Most of the people who see Jesus, I just see him maybe on a healing line, and they'll see him touch somebody, then they'll touch the person get healed, and Jesus will disappear. You know, but Kenneth Hagin's case was a little bit different. Jesus appeared to him and had conversation with him that he could actually record and write in a book. And everything the Lord Jesus told him was supported by the scriptures. That's why I have so much confidence in that particular set of visions, and it was spread over many years from September, the tabernacles 1950, right through to the 70s and even to the early 80s, if my recollection gets me right, even to the early 80s. I think he last appeared to him in 80 something, you know. And then, of course, there was another group of visions which I also have absolute confidence in, which was recorded by Charles and Francis Hunter of their father-in-law, Roland Buck. He was an Assemblies of God minister, and Gabriel appeared to him after, as far as I know, I could be wrong, but as far as the records that I have come across, Gabriel had not appeared since the time of Daniel. Since the time of Mary. You know, and Gabriel appeared to this man not once, not twice, several times. Several incidences, and they wrote a book called Angels on Assignment. And everything that Gabriel said to him, you can find it in the Bible. Solid. That's why I have confidence. I don't have confidence because it was a vision. I have confidence because it was solidly based on the Word of God. And you can go back and check it. However, having said all of that, it is very important to understand that God does not expect us to live our everyday Christian life by seeing visions. We're not expected to live our everyday Christian life by seeing the Lord Jesus or the angel Gabriel or God the Father. In fact, Roland Buck, in one of the visions of that he was taken to the throne room and he saw God the Father. But he couldn't look at his face, you know, from the record. He couldn't look into God's the Father's face. God took him to the throne room and showed him all the archives, all the records of everybody who had lived at least up till that time, and gave him an understanding of even scientific truth. God told him, said, I'm going to give you an overlay of truth. And he did. He told him about black holes. This is 1977. They hadn't understood black holes by that time. And he was in a somewhere in America anyway, you know, and he had scientists in his congregation. So after the vision, one of the scientists, you know, who was working, I think, in NASA or somewhere, you know, started, was discussing with him. And so he was now telling him what God the Father told him about black holes and some of these new discoveries. The guy said, the data is just coming in. How did you get to know about all of that? He said, well, the God who made it told me. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I have a lot of confidence in these things. However, having said all of that, you cannot live your everyday Christian life by wanting to see Jesus every day. I want to have visions every day. I believe if you have visions and the frequency is such that it's almost every day or every 2 weeks, I doubt if it is God you are seeing. For the simple reason that the Bible is very, very clear. It says we walk by faith and not by sight. If you are seeing Jesus every day, you're no longer walking by faith. You're now walking by sight. Hello, somebody. And that is why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, in verse 27, you can put it on the screen, it says that Moses endured seeing him that is invisible. That's how to operate in faith. And that's what I want to teach you this afternoon. These are things we know already. But the Bible says that we should put you into remembrance of these things, though you already know them. You know, you have to learn how to see him that is invisible. I even, you know, titled it Seeing the Invisible, because yes, God is invisible, but also spiritual things. The blood of Jesus is invisible. The life of God is invisible. The power of God is invisible. But they're real. They're all real. Amen. The angels are invisible. I have one standing behind me right now. Want to find out if he's there? Come mess with me. He will whack you. Amen. That's really true. You know, all these things are real. They're invisible. The Bible says, you come onto Mount Zion, you know, unto God the Father, you know, to Jesus, and to an innumerable company of angels. This church, as I'm talking now, is full of angels. All of you have an angel. I'm sure many of you don't know that. You have an angel. You have one senior angel who is in charge of you. Then that angel has thousands of angels under him, just for you. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's what is called good news. That's the gospel. It's good news. Amen. However, most times we're ignorant of these things and we do not know how to take advantage of them because we do not know how to see the invisible. You see the invisible by faith, not by visions. Now, occasionally, and I believe it is occasional, because if it's more than occasional, then it's longer about walking by faith. Occasionally, God will give us a vision, you know, where we will see these realities. I who speak to you by the mercy of God, because I've never had a vision in my Christian life. At least not up till now. I believe I probably will have one soon. You know, not because I'm seeking for one, no. I think there is a purpose, you know, if I understand it correctly, and I'm growing. I'm not perfect yet, but I am growing, and I'm understanding so many things. I believe the Lord said this to me. I'm open to correction. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. You know, Paul said, you know, I believe I have the Spirit of God. So I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I am saying I believe I perceive this. All his growing years, Jesus never had any visions because he was growing. He was walking by faith. If God was appearing to him every 2 weeks, it wouldn't be fair. Hello, somebody. You know, but when he got to maturity and the Spirit of God came upon him and the heavens opened, I think those were one of his first visions. Then later on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, he saw Moses and Elijah and all of that. All that happened after he had grown by faith by seeing the invisible. I believe God, when you reach a particular stage, God may show you one or two visions, you know, just to confirm what you've already been doing by faith all these years. But it's not as if he's going to start giving you visions every 2 weeks. You know, I think that's going to be a big error. You know, and Satan will accommodate you if you seek that. So what I'm about to teach you is not about seeking visions. It's not about seeking. It's about learning to see him that is visible by faith. So in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27, talking about Moses, and it's very instructive that Moses at this time hadn't even yet known God properly. Because at this time, Moses was still a prince in Egypt. He perceived God in his heart. And he killed an Egyptian who was trying to kill a Hebrew. And he now identified with the people of God. He forsook his throne. He was supposed to be the next Pharaoh. He was such a brilliant fellow. The Bible says he was mighty in words and deeds. You know, he designed pyramids and treasure cities. And Moses was a great guy. Make no mistake about it. Are you listening to me? The Bible just tells, just said, mighty in words and deeds. I meditate on that. Praise the Lord. It was at that transition period between the time when he had to give up his Egyptian heritage in order to fulfill the purpose of God, which he didn't even understand. He hadn't understood it fully at that time. He just knew. It came into his heart that this is not the right way, and I want to go God's way. He saw the oppression of his people by the taskmasters of Pharaoh, and he knew in his heart that kind of thing was not the will of God. You know, this brings me to that thought I've been bringing out in recent times. See, even people who don't know God know God's word in their heart, because God put it there. The Bible says, you know, the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things that are contained in the law. You know, their conscience bearing them. That's what happened to Moses. He was going to write the law later. But at that time, he didn't have the law. He just knew that this, you know, for one man to make another man a slave and stamp on them and oppress them was not right. Who told him? God told him. No, not in a vision. Not with a voice. That's why the Bible says he endured as seeing him that is invisible. He decided to, let's look at scripture again. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11 verse 27. It says he forsook the pleasures of Egypt. It was a choice. It was an intelligent choice made on the basis of a conviction of heart. At that time, there was no burning bush. What I'm telling you is of extreme importance. All that came later, the burning bush, you know, the rod turning into a serpent, catching it, you know, all those spectacular manifestations. But before then, Moses had raised a moving book, God by faith. Because he endured a seeing that's invisible. It says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him that's invisible. This was before he got to Jethro. This was when he killed the Egyptian, you know, and I don't think he meant to kill the guy. He saw them, you know, he was oppressing and then he attacked, and I think the guy happened to die. Then Moses, the Pharaoh heard about it and wanted to kill him. So he had to flee. He had to run from Egypt. That's how he ran through the wilderness and got to Jethro in the land of Midian. So this account is talking about Moses' experience before he actually ever saw the burning bush. And that's why I said what I said earlier on, that I believe, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, because I know God's principles. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself had no special visions until he got later, but he had grown by faith first, because God expects us to walk by faith and not by sight. Is it clear? Now, the invisible. This is a great concept. It's one of the things that helped me to understand the Bible, and it solidified my faith as a young believer. Also, because of my training by the grace of God as a scientist, you know, as a physicist, I knew that there were a lot of things that were invisible. But they were real. So it was not too difficult for me to translate that to my faith, to accept that God is invisible, but God is still real. And the scriptures actually tell us this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Talking about the operation of faith, the exercise of faith. Before we read that scripture, let me just give you a little brief background. See, many times when you pray for something, let's just use a general, you know, you don't get the answer immediately. You know, you pray and you believe God has heard you, but you can't see God. God is not like your friend down the road. You can go and knock on his door in the morning and say, that thing we talked about, where is it now? Praise the Lord. You can't, because he's invisible. So how do you operate between the time when you have asked God for something and the time when the thing you have asked comes into physical manifestation? That's what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 14 here. See, to operate in faith, you must learn to see into the invisible realm. So he uses the word while. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. He says, while. You see, This is something I have to be practicing before the thing comes into manifestation. Everybody say, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Let's say it in a simple way. The things you can see are physical things. The things you cannot see are spiritual things. The spiritual things are there forever. The physical things are changing with time. Are you listening to me? We teach this in our Foundations of Faith class in one of the early lessons. And it is this. Every physical thing has a spiritual origin. But you have to go a little bit further than that. And then every physical thing is being controlled by spiritual forces. And those of us who do a little bit of science and physics and all of these things, and chemistry too, even the biologists, even the doctors too, you can bring them into the club, praise the Lord. with apologies to Pastor Larry and Dr. Williams and Dr. EMC, you know, they make it compulsory. They have to do physics a little bit because they can't go anywhere without physics, you know. Praise the Lord. So we're very kind. Physics, we're very kind people. We accommodate everybody. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll tell you something. We know. This is not Bible now. This is scientific fact. We know that everything we see is made out of tiny elementary particles that come together according to certain physical laws and that are in constant motion. That's why, you know, most of your body is mud and water. Sorry, it's not an insult. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this is a scientific fact. It's also a biblical fact. This, our physical body, you know, is made up of sand, dust, and then plenty of water. So the Bible says God, you know, made man from the dust of the earth. The scientists have found that it's really true. That this body is made up of, you know. So you got a lot of carbon and all kinds of elements inside it and all that, you know. But to cut a long story short, all those elements and all that, they're made up of atoms and electrons, which are made up of protons and neutrons, all these tiny, tiny things. You know, and, you know, if you ask them, they haven't seen those things, oh. But they know they are there because they can see the effect. Those things are so small, all right. Those things are so, they're so tiny that you can't even have a microscope that can look at them. So what you look is at what is called the macroscopic effect. In other words, you take a large number of them. When you put it together, you now see their effect. Then you now work backwards. Then you now work backwards to say, okay, this the smallest one behaves like this. Then when you put all of them together, you now get this effect. Okay. So we know this science now. We'll come back to the Bible in a minute. I'm going to give you scripture. We know that everything we can see is made out of little tiny things we cannot see. And those little tiny things we cannot see are moving. They're in constant motion. They're dancing. I was just using a little expression that we can answer. And what makes reality is the way they are arranged. So this one's dancing this way, this one's dancing this way, and it forms water. This other one dances in this way, and this one dances in this way, and it forms nitrogen. This one dances in this way, and dances, and it forms oxygen. The oxygen will give you life, the nitrogen will kill you. Hello, somebody. You can now understand what the Bible means when the Bible says that the things which are seen were made out of things which are not seen, because there's a spiritual force behind the things we can see. There's a power that is controlling the dancing. I use the word dancing just to make it interesting. It's, you know, the way, you know, all these electrons, they're all juggling all over the whole place. But those juggle, they look random, but they're not random. Because they when they form in a particular way, they create a particular thing. When they form in a particular way, they create another thing. In other words, the things you're seeing are being controlled by the things you cannot see. Hebrews chapter 1. Amplified Bible. Am I talking to anybody here? Hebrews chapter. My first few years when I just came back from England, anytime I teach in here, I always go to Hebrews. I always taught from here. Always. You know, still do, but, you know, because it is so, especially from my science background, it was so clear to me. I mean, it was so, and I didn't need too much faith to believe it. Because, you know why? It's a fact. It's not only a scriptural fact, it's a scientific fact. Hello? That's why the people, scientists who say they don't believe in God, are the most dishonest guys on the planet. You cannot study science to any depth, any degree, without coming face to face with the fact that there's an intelligent creator behind it. Yes. Whether you accept it or not is a different matter, but that's the fact. That's why, it's just by the way, especially for our young people who may be allowing science to confuse them, you know, the Bible says that oppositions of science, falsely so called, there is no true opposition of science. If there's an opposition of science, it's false. The interpretation of the people is false. The real science will bring you to the fact that there is an intelligent creator. It has to be. Amen. Even mathematics, if you work out the mathematics, the probability of bringing inorganic compounds together just randomly to form intelligent life, the probability is zero. Zero. It's not exactly zero. It's 1 over 10 to power 40. Which is 1, 10 times 10 times 10, 40 times, which is zero. Hello? People actually worked out the mathematics. The probability is that it's impossible. That proves there's God. The mathematical proof that you cannot know God by that, but at least you can know that there is a God. You can only know God by revelation. Anyway, so Hebrews 11, verse 1, amplified, please. Now faith is, everybody say it after me, the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. Watch this. Everybody say it after me. Being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. This is a technical, scientific, scriptural definition of faith. You perceive, you see that it's a fact. What I cannot see is made out of, or rather, what I can see is made out of what I cannot see. As real fact. And science supports this. It supports it. You know, particularly in the last 100 years. When was I getting down? I like what Heisenberg. Yeah, it was Heisenberg. He's one of the fathers of quantum theory. You know, he said, when you first get to the physical science, he said, the first gulp of the physical will make you an atheist. He said, but God is waiting for you at the bottom of the glass. He was a scientist. He said that. He said, when you first taste science, you know, you can make an atheist out of it. Maybe there is no God. And that's what these people, evolution and all that. Because they haven't got. He said, but when you get, the physicist, we say, when you get to the bottom of the glass, he said, God is waiting for you there. They start seeing things jump around. You don't understand how they are jumping. You know, you pass an electron through this place. He will go through this hole. You close the second hole, the thing disappears. You open the two holes, you see the diffraction pattern. Somebody's playing around with you. And he's telling you, I'm here. I'm here. So, faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Let me just, you know, explain something here. I'm going to get back to seeing him as visible and we'll close in a few minutes. And it is this. You see, your senses, what are your senses? Sight, touching, feeling, tasting. The five physical senses can only perceive physical things. Stop. You can only see things physically if natural light goes into your eyes. You can only feel something if you touch it. Hello? But we know that there are things we cannot perceive and see that are still real. So faith begins to understand that there are things that are real that our senses cannot perceive. An angel is real, but you can't see him with your eyes. But does that mean he's not real? He's there. Thousands, millions of them, trillions of them. If I'm to take the Bible account seriously, it says thousands and hundreds of thousands and thousands of thousands. You know, in those days they didn't have the language, they didn't have all these billion and trillion that we had to. So John had to write it in a simple way. Just say, well, thousands and thousands and thousands. They're trillions. Imagine if each of us has like 100,000. And imagine how many of us are on the earth. 7 billion of us. Multiply that by 100,000. You begin to get an idea of how many angels have been sent into the earth to help humanity. Give the Lord a clap offering. When today we were worshiping God, you know, and Sister Bidimi led us so beautiful, and she, you know, also said, "You are exalted far above every other God. You are the Holy One, the Maker of all things, eternal Rock of ages. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name, Almighty God." You know what's going on in my mind? These things I'm preaching. "You are exalted far above." Ah, the guy is far above. Koshelem God and Afrenes. I'm telling you, this is not flattery. Do you know how great God is? Far above every other. There is no competition with any other God. That's why one of his names is El Elyon, the Most High God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This is a being, the three of them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that have made trillions and trillions of angels. And then he sits at the head of all things. I see the Lord exalted high above the worship of the people of the earth. To you it may be a song, to me it's reality. It's not just a song, it's reality. This God we're serving, you have no idea how great he is. He's really awesome. He is. You know, the other day I was driving. I went out of town for an event somewhere. I don't know. This meditation just came into my heart. That's what happens when you pray a lot in the spirit. The Holy Ghost begins to talk to you. And I just saw myself outside myself. In other words, I was seeing me the way God was seeing me. Here was I in this car, on this tiny planet, on a road in one country that is just on the planet. You understand? And here is God looking. Billions and billions and billions and billions of light years away. And his eyes on me. His eyes on the sparrow. Koshele mengada, friend. Oh yes. And he's mapping my course as my car is traveling. And he has already sent ahead of me hundreds of angels to clear the way, to make sure I get where I'm getting safely. Ah, he's exalted. He's exalted. He's exalted. And then, you know, he was telling me something. I can't share everything with you, but I'll share some things with you. I'm allowed to share some. He said, he was talking to me. I was praying in the spirit and in the car. And he said, I got everything fine. And that day, there was a lot of traffic and problem on the road. But I wasn't bothered a minute. You know why? I'd already got inside information. Declared the whole thing. And we got to where we were going in time, you know. But And he was saying to me, he said, can you imagine now, you people are fighting, you know, you find them, you know, politicians, all that, they are fighting over one country. It's just one small part of real estate on one very small planet. He said, you guys need to know who you are. He said, if you walk with me, you will inherit galaxies. He says, those who don't walk with me very well will inherit solar systems. And then some of the other smaller guys will inherit planets. And then some of the other really, really smaller guys will be made local government chairman of one small part of one country in one planet. Change your thinking. Free of charge. I didn't know I was going to say that to you. You guys are blessed this afternoon. God said, I just share that with you. So stop disturbing yourself over things that are not of consequence. So faith perceives, as we go back to Hebrews 11 now. Hebrews 11 verse 3. We've looked at verse 1. Now jump to verse 3, still in the Amplified Bible. Wonderful scripture. It says, by faith, everybody shout with me, we understand. Ah, turn to your neighbor and say, you need to understand who? Say, by faith, children, by faith. Life for children, by faith, we understand that the worlds, turn to your neighbor and say, what he means by that, by the worlds there, he means he's talking about galaxies, planets, solar systems. You see, at the time Paul wrote these things, we didn't have the knowledge of astronomy that we have now. So he had to say it using the expressions of the time. That's why God's given us revelation. That's why God's given us the Holy Spirit. That's why when I prayed, though, at the beginning of prayer, I said, Lord, your infinite wisdom has been compressed into human words. The Holy Spirit is now helping us to bring it out. But this is what I'm talking about. Am I talking to anybody here? He said, by faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, worlds that will include, you know, this earth is just one planet. So when he was talking about worlds, he was talking about planets. He was talking about solar systems. He was talking about galaxies in a language he could not express at that time. The worlds. And you see, the people who translated the Amplified Bible, by going into the original Greek, they were trying to extract the hidden meaning that was behind the thought that Paul was trying to say. So he now uses this thing, which has now scientifically been proven, that the worlds during the successive ages. Can I take off? Why is it I should take off? During the successive ages. Everyone says successive ages. Turn to your neighbor and say, what does successive mean? One after the other. Can you see how stupid they are when they say there is no God? The Bible is already talking about it. In the beginning, God created the heavens, plural, and the earth. Successive ages. Successive ages. He created one set. They now give birth to another set. Then another set. Then another set. So all the evidence they are finding of fibrillation, it's all inside the Bible. God forgive me. They're only using 10% problem here. The successive ages were framed. I didn't hear you. Fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. So that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Give the Lord a clap offering. We found that now scientifically true. It's true. Folks, the Bible is true. Don't go to hell for nothing. I'm being honest. It would be a shame for somebody to go to hell when they don't have to go to hell, when the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Here is a guy who studied law and Hebrew, the Old Testament, Leviticus, writing scientific fact thousands of years before they were ever discovered. I fear God. Don't you never say fear God? Let me get back to my message. The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So what do we do as Christians? We have to be able to see the invisible. How do I... don't let me get ahead of myself. I've already said all of this, so I won't repeat it. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. So we walk by faith, not by sight. We're walking, seeing the invisible, like Moses. He saw the invisible. He didn't see God literally with his two eyes. He perceived God in his heart as real fact that had not yet been revealed to his senses. Are you listening to me? I say this every Tuesday when we're praying. I'm just using as an example. I say, when you want to pray in the spirit, and this is what I do. You know, David said it this way. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. How did he do that? By faith. David wasn't having, he wasn't having a vision, a multicolored vision, you know, technicolor vision of the three persons of the Godhead. And you know that Psalm 16 is a very, very instructive something. Psalm 16 verse 8. Say, I did it by faith. I have set the Lord always. So I can decide to see God 24/7. I have set the Lord always before me. Then he is at my right hand. You know that tells us there are three persons of the Godhead. How can God be before me and also at my right hand? It means that there's more than one person in the Godhead. I have set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. So the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, is at my right hand. The other two persons of the Godhead are in front of me. I see that by faith. I see that by faith. I perceive it as a real fact, even though it's not revealed to my senses. That's what faith is. It's perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the physical senses. Is this clear? And so you say, how can that be? Well, you don't understand. You know? How can I explain this? Let me explain it in a simple way. How many people have DSTV at home? Practically all of us. No, DSTV. Okay. How can I be watching Donald Trump in my house and you are watching the same Donald Trump in your own house? Is it a different Donald Trump? Is it a different Donald Trump? And the guy in South Africa is watching the same Donald Trump. Then the guy in Jamaica is watching the same Donald Trump. The guy in Japan is watching the same Donald Trump. Ah, is Donald Trump omnipresent? How can all of you be seeing him at the same time? I'm coming back to God in a minute. Then it becomes easy to understand how God can do it. Hello? Hello? He's same Donald Trump. He's in the White House. The light is coming from Donald Trump's body. It goes into the camera. The camera does a little bit of tricks, electronics. Okay? Sends us a signal. Sends at the speed of light. Sends a signal to satellite in outer space. That satellite in outer space beams that signal all over the world. But because it's moving at the speed of light, to you it looks instant. So long as you have a television and a satellite dish, do you understand? You will see the same Donald Trump that's in the White House. All of us can see him all at the same time. Not because Donald Trump is something special. We're praying for him. I won't go there this afternoon. I promise. Amen. Not because, but because of the power of that technology. Are you listening to me? So, how can Olubi set the Lord always before me at my right hand? And then Larry, who is in Lagos, you're not in Lagos right now, but just as an illustration, he can also set the Lord always before him, and the Lord's also at his right hand. You know, and Mommy Dupe in Ekiti, Mommy, you know, can also set the Lord before her always, and he's at her right hand. But I thought it was with Olubi in Ibadan. Yes. And he's also with Larry in Lagos. And he's also with Mami Dugbe in Ekiti. Of course he's God. Give the Lord a clap offering. What is coming out of him? Is so light. God is light. It's emanating to the entire universe. And anybody can set him at his right hand. All you need is a satellite dish, a correct television, and a power source. Now, if you miss any of those things, you're not going to see him. That satellite dish is your will. If any man will do his will, he will know. Television set is a renewed mind. It has scripture in it. And the power of God is the power of the Holy Spirit. If you get it, you get him set before you. You will hear him as clearly as you can hear Donald Trump in the White House. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you can't set the Lord always before you. That's how to operate by faith. You can set him before you. Then the good thing about this, unlike Donald Trump's zone, where if you say hello, he won't answer you. God's zone is three-dimensional, fully interactive. Fully interactive. So out of that television, he can touch you. And you'll be healed. Out of that television, he can give you the wisdom that you need to solve that financial problem you are facing next week. Hallelujah. Out of that television, he can tell you all the things you need to know and tell you what you're going to read in your Bible and what you're going to preach next week Sunday. Fully interactive. All by faith. All by faith. And so, we do it by faith. Faith in what? Faith in who God is. Faith in God's power. If man, puny man, can make satellite and you know, a little bit of electromagnetic wave theory and send the magnetic and electric waves and push it all over the whole place, and you can see your DSTV 24/7. How simple is this for God to release light from his person that will be effective for every human being? Each and every one of us. That's why just your personal savior. You have the Holy Ghost at your right hand 24/7. And he does not disturb the one at my right hand. These are not cunningly devised fables. I'm giving you reality. Oh, I got to close. Now, why? Because we have to operate by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Then in Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh unto God must believe. It says by faith. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. And I'll tell you the reason why. Why is it that without faith is impossible? How can you please God? You can only please God by God's life and God's power. You cannot do the will of God by your own strength. That's why it's without faith is impossible. It is by faith you tap into that invisible presence and get his blood to clean your sin. Get his life. Convert his life to power. And that power will now make you will and to do of his good pleasure. But you can only do it by faith. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. believe that he is. I must believe I have set him before me. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In other words, if you set me before you and you speak my word like I told you to, and you put those spiritual laws into operation, you will see the result. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. Glory be to God. Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. It says, be not slothful. That's the problem of so many Christians. Laziness, spiritual laziness. But be followers. The Greek word is mimetes, it's imitate. Be imitators of those who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. So by setting the Lord always before you, by seeing the invisible, 2 Corinthians 4:18, which we read earlier, while we look not at the things which are seen. So between the time God has told me something or given me something and the time I get the physical manifestation, I must keep my eyes on the invisible. As I keep my eyes on the invisible continues to work on the visible. Then the visible begins to change to conform to what the invisible has said. I don't know if you got it. Let's give a simple example so you can understand. Abraham. Abraham is told that you're going to have a son at the age of 75. But his wife and him, well, we know he wasn't because of Hagar. God forgive Abraham. You know, they said Sarah was barren. So maybe there was a problem with Sarah. Maybe the fallopian tube was not opening. Something must have been wrong. So gynecologists will tell us better. You know, I'm sure when we get to heaven, we'll watch the movie. Amen. Get all the details. But whatever it was, Abraham's seed, that is the sperm, could not fertilize the egg in Sarah's womb, and she didn't have a baby. The years rolled by. First year, second year, third year, fourth, fifth, 15, 20. Abraham had two choices. To only look at his body, what he can see, and then take his eyes off the invisible that he cannot see. So God wanting to help him. This is maybe after about, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us the exact time. You know, it was Genesis 12, Genesis 15, then Genesis 18 and 19. That's when Isaac was born. But there's plenty of years. It's not the 5 minutes you take to read it. Are you listening to me? So in Genesis 12 is when the promise was given, when he took take him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Genesis 15, God does something significant. God says, this is Olubi's translation, 2018. Father Abraham, you're taking your eyes off the ball. You're concentrating too much on what you can see. You're not looking at what you cannot see. So I want to help you. Come, let's take a walk. We're going out to see the sky. So God takes him out and he shows him the stars of the sky. He says, Abraham, get your imagination working here. Can you count these stars? He said, no, Lord, I can't. He said, so shall your seed be. Abraham, knowing God's capability. That's our problem. God's capability. Do you know how powerful God is? Do you know how great God is? I just gave you a few hints. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God. So, let's move from Genesis 15 to Genesis 17, 18, 19, when Isaac is born. Over the next maybe 10 years, we don't know. That was when he misbehaved, you know, when his wife gave him counsel that did not come from heaven. It's not always that the counsel from your women come from heaven. Sometimes they come from heaven, sometimes they don't. So you have to discern. I wish Abraham had discerned, but he did not discern. He said, look, I've got this little house girl from Egypt. Oh God. Abraham said, well, yeah, it's a good idea. But not every good idea is a God idea. And we're still battling with it in the Middle East till today. Anyway, Abraham makes that terrible mistake. God's angry with him. God doesn't talk to him for 14 years. He was 86. So at 99, God finally shows up and says, be upright. You have not been upright. Walk before me. He said, now the time has come. All right, now your wife Sarah is going to have a baby. You're going to... Abraham said, oh, come on, Lord. You're 15 years too late. I mean, you know, I believed you that time. I believed you. I used yourself, you said I believed you. Yeah, but you know, a lot of water has gone at the bridge. You know, this Hagar, you know, she's had a baby for me. Oh, let Ishmael live before thee. God said, you don't know me. I don't talk like you guys. Have I said, and will I not do it? I am not a man that I should lie. Now the son of man, that this is Holy Spirit's translation. Now the son of man that I should repent. Now, listen to me. Be upright and walk before me. You're going to have a baby and it's going to be by Sarah. He said, now I want you to do something. And you go and circumcise yourself. You're 99 years old. Take a knife and cut the foreskin of your flesh off. You know, you heal after a few days. And after that, the seed will come forth. And you know, Abraham, he knows God enough not to argue. Do you understand? The Bible records his experience in Romans chapter 4. Let's go there. Talking about seeing him that is invisible. It's how to operate by faith. See, most Christians, the problem is anytime we have a problem, we keep our eyes on the visible. And we take our eyes off the invisible. Reorientate yourself. Always keep your eyes on the invisible, because the invisible is working on the visible, and the visible is changing to what the invisible has said. Is it clear? So, verse 17, Romans chapter 4. I'm not going to spend too much time. New International Version, please. Okay, because of time, I've made you a father of many nations, blah, blah, blah. Next verse, verse 18. Aha! Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him when he showed him the stars in Genesis 15. So we often bring. Next verse. I love this. Without weakening in his faith. Don't your neighbor say, what will make your faith weaken? I'll give you the answer. When you stop seeing the invisible. That's what makes your faith weaken. Once you take your eyes off the invisible and you put it on the visible, your faith will weaken. Say, but Pastor, how can I see the invisible? Very simple. I'll share this on Wednesday, I think. What you just do is this. How do you see physical things? With physical light, isn't it? If light is coming from that thing, it bounces on Laolu's head. That light bounces into my eyes. And that's how I'm seeing Pastor Laolu. If it's night now and there's no light here, even though he's in front of me, I won't see him. Amen? I need physical light in my eyes to see physical things. I need spiritual light in my mind to see invisible things. The reason why you are not seeing the invisible is because there is no light in your mind. Thank you. You pick the scripture. The Bible says that the eyes of our understanding, the other translation says, be flooded with light. Paul knew what he was talking about. Once you shut that light off, or the spiritual light in your mind, once it gets dim, the invisible becomes unreal. You can't see it anymore. Then you start getting into doubt. That's why, watch this, the entrance of his word giveth light. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because when you hear the word of God will bring light.
That light will enlighten your mind, and you will see the invisible, and then you will have faith. When the light goes down and you can't see the invisible, your faith has gone down. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I helping anybody here? Are you listening to me? So, how can I keep seeing the invisible? Keep my mind full of light. Now that's why I need to pray those polite prayers every day. Father, give me afresh and increasingly the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's why I need to pray from life scriptures. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and give life to me in your way. Because there is light inside the life of God. Jesus came, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when I begin to pump my mind with the word of God, confession, life scriptures, all that, I'm putting light into my mind, then it's easy to see the invisible. Once you stop seeing the invisible, go load again on the word. Or, correspondingly, check your attitude. Because no matter how much light is here, if the trap door here is locked, up here will be dark. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the stubbornness of their heart. Ephesians 4, verse 18. Quickly give it to me. Trust me, I'm going to finish in a few minutes. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. I think it's important for you to see the invisible. Oh, what thinkest thou? Having the understanding darkened. I didn't hear you. Being alienated from the life of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, why is the understanding darkened? Because they are alienated or cut off from the life of God. Because the life of God is what has light inside. That's why his understanding is darkened. But that's not the only thing. Let's keep reading. Through the ignorance that is in them, because he's giving you the root cause of the blindness of their heart. That's the old King James. Give this to me in the New International or Amplified. It tells you the stubbornness, hardness. Hallelujah. Now give me the New International or God's Word, one of these, due to the hardening of their hearts. That's why attitude is everything. If you have a wrong attitude, no matter how much light is being pumped into your spirit, it will never flow into your mind, because your will acts like the door between your spirit and your mind. Unless you open that door as an act of your will, that's why you have to choose to fear God and humble yourself. So every day you go and open that door and keep it open so that the light from the spirit can go into the mind. And it's only when it's in the mind that you can see the invisible. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Okay. I promised you I was going to close. I'm going to close. Trust me. So, what do? We make sure, how do we see the invisible? That we keep pumping our hearts. That's why you read your Bible every day. Not just read it mechanically, with the right attitude. The attitude of humility. The attitude of love. So that the door can be open, so the light can flow from the spirit to the mind. Then it's easy to see spiritual things. Look at that conversation I was having with God that I was telling you inside my car. I was going to Ilorin. How can that kind of thoughts come to me? And God said, I got my eyes on you. You're just on a tiny planet, in a tiny solar system, out of billions that I have, but my eyes on you. He said, this whole earth is just an experiment. Oh yes, it is. It's a control. Pilot, thank you. It's just a pilot scheme. It's when we finish here that the real life will start. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's just a pilot. So you want to completely ruin your destiny on a pilot. But you see, those kind of thoughts only come from God. I can't think that myself. It's because there's light in my mind. And I always make sure I keep the light on all the time. And that's why God gave me that prayer that I put in that book. You know, afresh and increasingly. So the light I have today is more than the one I had yesterday. And the one I'm going to have tomorrow is going to be more than the one I have today. That's how it should be. Then you be like Jesus. You know, Jesus, he used to say some things that were funny. Not funny, but, you know, he's talking from his perspective. And he's talking to us. He said, how is it that you have no faith? You know, to him, because his mind was so full of light, you know, he said, let us go to the other side. And the man went to sleep. He expected that word would take them to the other side. And then the wind and everything. Of course, the devil's always there. We told you today, you're appointed unto affliction. So the appointment came. Praise the Lord. And you know what Jesus expected? He raised Peter with his big mouth to get up on something. He said, Jesus, he said, peace be still. And it would have happened. But Peter did exactly what you and I do. Take your eyes off the invisible and he put it on the visible. All he could see was the wind and all of that. He couldn't see the angels who are ready to quench the wind. Jesus wakes up. No binding the devil, no fasting, no prayer, no... most of these are by those gym that we do. You know, most of it's out of unbelief. Amen. You know, Jesus gets up casually, you know. And then he says, peace be still. Immediately there is a great calm. Then he says, how come? It's strange to him. How come you have no faith? You're walking with me. By now your mind should be constantly full of light. You should have known exactly what to do to deal with that thing. You should get to the place where your Christian life, 24/7, you're operating by faith. It doesn't matter whether they wake you up, you know, in the middle of the night with a problem or something. I've said the Lord always before me. And it's from that Lord I now pray. And the God who I said before me is stronger than the problem I'm facing. Thank you, Pastor Larry, all the time. 24/7. You know, unlike Glo and Airtel. And all the others, I don't remember their names. You know, they don't have downtime. They don't have, you know, in that place, there's no signal there. Network. God's network is always working 24/7. Give the Lord a clap of it. Heaven has no network problems. None whatsoever. Amen. And all our engineers are angels. Trust me, they know their business. Everything works. Everything works in heaven. Everything works. Seamlessly. I got to close. Hello, somebody. One last example, I got to close. Of course, two. Jesus said something, and then I'll get to the example. He said something. He said, talked about John the Baptist and said, you know, he said, John bore witness of me. He said, but I don't take witness from man. Even though John said so, John was only confirming what I already knew. He said, but I have a greater witness. He said, the works that I do are greater, you know. Then he said, I want you to understand something. I'm paraphrasing because of time. I want you to understand that the God who you say is your God, he says, he bears witness of me. And he says, you have never heard his voice, nor seen his shape. Why? For his word, you don't abide in you. If you put the word of God in you, do you understand? Two things will come. You will see God's shape. Because the light from that word will make you see the invisible. Amen. Are you listening to me? Not only that, not only will you see him, you will hear his voice. Because the light from that word will help you to hear his voice from the written word. See, God does not speak in Hebrews chapter 11, Matthew chapter 4. He doesn't talk like that. Matthew chapter 4, Hebrews chapter, they are thoughts. So what God does when he wants to talk to you, he picks the thought from Hebrews 11. He doesn't call it Hebrews 11. Then he picks the one from Matthew chapter 4. And then he puts it together and he puts it inside your mind. But because you know Hebrews 11 and you know Matthew chapter 4, you know it's God talking to you. For if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So if you have his word abiding in you, you will hear his voice. Am I talking to anybody here? Closing. Promise. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha, the king of Syria, sends his troops to come and arrest a prophet of God. Trust me, in this generation, they won't try it because they'll be afraid of us. With this glory that is coming, Pastor Boyer. Well, they may try that first, but when they have a few casualties, he says he will wound the heads over many countries. Oh, all that is coming back. All that is coming back. For not one jot or tittle will fail until all be fulfilled. Am I talking to anybody here? So they sent these guys to arrest him. They said there's this prophet in Israel. He's the one who's telling all the secrets. So the guy sends this army of, you know, chariots and to a place called Dothan. Elijah is living here. Elisha, rather. So they get up in the morning and behold, the whole city is surrounded by Syrian troops just to arrest one man. Gehazi, Kule talked about him today, no light in the mind. Gehazi is afraid. What are we going to do? Oh, only me, oh, what a power. Elijah is calm. He said, Ulubi translation, Gehazi, chill. Amen. They are more on our side than they are on their side. Gehazi, like most of us. Lord, open his eyes. Then his eyes are open. Then he sees chariots of fire. And angels. And hallelujah. They were always there. It was the eyes of his understanding that was darkened. So he could not see the invisible. So when he finally sees the invisible, even though it's still invisible, but God just opened his eyes, designed on spirits to see it. But Elijah didn't have any design spirits. He knew it by faith. And you know what he does? To prove to you that the invisible is real and can affect the visible. He says, Lord, smite them with that. And all that host went blind. Then, with one word, Castle Mengradafras says, boys, come here. Come here. I'll teach you a lesson. Come here. You're looking for somebody, eh? I'll show you where he is. Come. Follow me. Takes them to the market square where they are totally surrounded by the Israeli soldiers. Then he opened their eyes. But Elijah has evolved and he's learned to walk in love. Love is more powerful than anything else. So ordinarily, the king says, my lord, my father, shall I smite them? He said, chill. You only smite the people you capture with your sword. These ones were captured by the word of God. Don't smite them. Yeah, give them food to eat. Let them drink and eat. They drank and ate. The Bible says, and they went and they never came back. Give the Lord a clap offering. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Learn to see the invisible. Talk to God. Have I helped anybody here? Hallelujah. See the invisible. And then you stop panicking. And running around like a chicken with the head cut off. Like Gehazi. One other thing. The Lord said, keep your focus on me, not on angels. The angels are there. I got billions of them. He said, but if you focus on me, you have access to all the resources of heaven. That's why he did not say, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on angels. But I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. So, instead of trying to focus on 20 million angels and focus on this and focus on what wonder what's going on in spirit, I just focus on him. And he takes care of every other thing from his headquarters. Anything I need. If it's money, I don't focus on money. If it's healing, I don't focus on healing. If it is this, I don't focus on that. I focus on him. One of the reasons why this visualization message has been corrupted is that people try and focus on things. Then they become things-minded. And then those things now become idols. Focus on him. Talk to God. I can't even speak in English again. Speak English, then tongues. English tongues. You know, English can't say what I want to say. Hallelujah. Talk to God, everybody. Talk to God. And say, God, help me to see the invisible. Daily. Hourly. Every 6 hours. Help me constantly. Constantly. Let me practice. And develop the habit of constantly seeing him that is invisible. Then I'll be able to endure anything. Then I'll be able to overcome anything. Are you talking? Am I talking to anybody here? And put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand, God. In your presence, we are content.
We are content.
You understand it now? Hallelujah.
In your presence,
we are content.
We are content.
In your presence. Hallelujah.
In
your presence there is light.
Expressions of your love.
And then revelations.
Revelations of your power and might.
Hallelujah.
In your presence we now bring a love song offering. We're in the presence of our King.
In your presence, glory to God.
In your presence, in your presence,
we are content.
Expressions
of your love,
revelations of your power and might,
in your presence,
in your presence we now
bring
a song offering. We're in the presence of King.
One more time, in your presence, sing it to him.
In your presence.
Revelation.
In your presence,
Lord, we are content.
We are content.
Glory be to God.
In your presence,
we are content.
We are content.
Hallelujah.
In your presence, there is light.
There is light.
Your love,
expressions of your love,
revelation of your power and might.
Lord, in your presence,
we now
bring
a song of the rain.
We're in the presence of
a King.
In your presence.
Your presence.
There is expressions of your love.
Expressions of your
revelations.
Revelations
of your power and might.
Your power and your might.
Hallelujah.
Feel your presence.
Feel your presence. We now bring.
We now bring.
An awesome offering. We're in the presence of Jesus.
Raise that hand. Put your other hand on your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins, especially the sin of unbelief, not seeing the invisible. I receive cleansing of the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me of the vital, strategic importance of constantly seeing the invisible, knowing that the things which are seen are temporal, are being constantly changed by the invisible forces of the spiritual realm that come from you. The power that comes from you is holding all things together and changing them to conform with your will. Oh God, help me to live in this reality. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me to maintain an attitude of humility and meekness so that light can constantly flow from my spirit into my mind, enabling me to see the invisible. Help me, Lord, to keep my mind stayed on you no matter what's going on around me, because in you I have peace. In you I have contentment. In you, I have provision. In you, every need that I may be facing in the physical can be met by the power that's coming from you. Father, help me. Help me. Help me to constantly live by faith, to see you, to see the invisible. In Jesus' name, amen. Likno koshto klomatlos lambrdo frido frifrish zeleya yukuk fridele mesk zofredeles lombrdelas lombotlomatlomatu frido frishe lombr kashla zofri kako tolomoshlengaras zifri lambr kako tolomoshla lombr klomatlomako kako betulo lambrdo frido frifrish lombr klomatlomatlan lakno tolomoshto frido frifrish Zafridikas, Lombrica Clomatolan, Stofrenes, Zekito Fres, Lombrica Clomatolan, Gelangars, Zofre, Lombrica Clomatolan, Lambrudo Fresse, Lombrica Clomatolan, Lombrica Clomatolan, Stofresse, Lombrica Clomatolan, Tufrido Fresse, Zofrenes, Nofres, Gelabaras, Nofres, Longaras, Jikito Frenes, Longoros, Jikito Frenes, Lombrolos, Jelekito Frenes, Longitolos, Tolomangaras, Tufrines, Longaras, Tolomas, Tolomutufrinis, Tolomas, Jelekaras, Tufrines, Longaro Clomas, Shukutu Frido Fres, Tufrido Fresh. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray for our healing and health. It's very simple. Just touch somebody. Touch somebody next to you. Use as a point of contact. Heavenly Father, we release healing power into this entire congregation. Healing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Healing at your cellular level. Healing in your DNA. We command all your DNA, all the atoms, the molecules, all the electrons, all the elementary particles to align themselves with the will of God so that you are healed. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name. Zekatala mashala proto fredo frese. Lombrikituska fredes. Lombragashka chromoko. Lombrikituska fred. Lombrokoglobakum. Tolomashuku. Lombokoglobatula lambrido fredo frese. Tuklom tolomashtu fredo frese. Tuklomatula lambrido frese. Lombrokoglobatula stufrese.
So Frederick Kroglomka Tolomosto Frischen Kofrides. Loglom Tolomos Tolomosto Frenes Tolomoshingar Dufridofres. In Jesus' name. Just before I give the benediction, see, everything we do in prayer is based on what I've just shared with you. When I speak God's word, I'm speaking from His presence. When I pray in tongues, I'm praying from His presence. When I groan and travail, I'm praying from His presence. What am I doing when I speak in tongues? When I speak God's word, when I pray in groaning, I'm releasing the power of God to go and start working on the visible. So the invisible power is changing the visible thing I can see. And with time, the visible will align with the invisible. Understand it. That way you won't get tired. That way you won't get discouraged. You know, whenever you go on, focus back on Him. Just focus on Him. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Don't you never say, you always see the invisible. You keep your mind constantly full of light so you can see the invisible. God bless you. Have a great week.